Last week, we started a new series, The Growing Church. And so today, I will be speaking to you on another part of that series, the second in the series, which is devoted to the Word, and looking at the power of apostolic teaching. Keep your minds on what I'm saying and just... because it could be a lot, but I do believe that this is something that we do need to. And at the end of it, I just pray that you would have gleaned from it and you would take it and apply it to your everyday life. So when you're looking at growing church and, you know, apostolic teaching, it's kind of hard not to think of the Acts 2 church, the way they began. And their growth was exponential. They just, like 5,000 added to the church in one go, 3,000 added in one go. That's mind-boggling. And so it might be hard for us to think of that because we've never experienced that. In our church and in local churches, you get, you know, single, double digits. But to have that many people added to the church in one go, it just seems mind-boggling. And when you look at the first part of Acts 2, the main text that we're looking at is Acts 2:42, which tells us that they devoted themselves, or steadfastly devoted themselves to the Word, to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. But before that, when you look at Acts 2, after the Holy Spirit would have come upon them, Peter, with such boldness that he probably never had before, and I think he also had some conviction because he now knew what he believed. And he stood up before this crowd and he started talking. And he's like, oh, you know, the same Jesus that you crucified on the cross and the same Jesus that you buried, I'm a witness to the fact that he rose again. I'm witness, and we all witnesses to the fact that this is the same Jesus. We witness that God raised him up, that, you know, the prophecies that our forefathers would have told of old, we're witnesses that those prophecies have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled. Because if you remember, in the Old Testament, do you remember when it said, and the Holy Spirit, or you would start, old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. And so they started seeing those prophecies being fulfilled. And... this caused the people's hearts to stir. And they welcomed the message, and some of them were baptized. And then we get down to the Acts 2:42 that says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Growing up, I heard of apostolic doctrine. What is apostolic doctrine? What is apostolic teaching? I'm going to try and explain it to you. So apostolic doctrine is, or teaching, is based on the teachings that the disciples would have gotten firsthand from Jesus. When he walked through his ministry here on earth, do you remember Jesus spoke? We have the Sermon on the Mount, and you know, we have all of the teachings that he would have done, and they would have seen all the miracles, and even the, not just the teachings that he would have done publicly, but what he would have taught them privately. And so what they then began teaching would have been from what they would have gleaned from Jesus. See, it was not something that was based on their intellectual ability, or it wasn't something that would have been, you know, they would have just conjured up and just hope and pray that, you know, they had enough charisma to work people up. That's not what that was. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, the first part of verse 16, it talks about the fact that all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God. And so the growth of the church that we looked at in Acts 2, you know, it was because the Holy Spirit took what they learned, empowered them to be able to impart that to the people. It wasn't just based on Peter's boldness, but due to the foundational truths and beliefs that would have been imparted to them by Jesus. So the church not only grew in numbers, but there was a spiritual depth that was there. There was depth in the word and in faith. Their foundation became strong. Their roots grew deep and wide. Think of a tree. The tree that you see above the ground does not tell you the strength of that tree. The strength of that tree depends on how far down. Sorry, Isaac. I might be going into your message for next week. But it depends on how far down the tree, the tree's roots go, and how wide they would go, then interlocking with the other tree's roots that are around it. But that's for Isaac. You see, because their roots grew deep and wide, when life starts, Indy says lifing, everything at this point, they put an ing to it. Yeah, so church was churching today, you know? That's something that, if you go out to Elevate, that's and you ask them, how was church? Oh, church was churching. You know, that's something they would say. But when life starts lifing, they knew where their faith lay. They knew in whom they believed. And that is the power of apostolic teaching. That is the power of apostolic teaching. You see, there's not just numerical growth, but there's spiritual growth. And from that, we can see that the church's growth must be rooted in strong doctrinal teaching. We live in a world where it's so easy to find answers to everything, everywhere. Everybody's opinions are at the touch of your fingertip. I don't have my phone. How cool was that? I didn't plan that. That had nothing to do with me. But no, it wasn't for a friend either. But everything, it's all at your fingertips. You're constantly bombarded from every direction. And we can get dragged into the opinions and thoughts on things that matter. Everyone can then have a say and have a hold in how we live our lives. External opinions can become so influential to us that there's no room for anything else. And so we must be mindful. Be mindful of who you allow, not just who, but also what you allow to take lead in what you believe and how you live. And what we see of Acts 2 is that they devoted themselves to sitting down under the teaching of the apostles. The truth of their teaching anchored them. It provided a solid foundation. These teachings formed and shaped their lives, and the word equipped them for every good work. Now we're going to read 2 Timothy 3:16. I mentioned it earlier, but I want us to look at it here. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Some different translations says it's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. Amen? We don't have to be caught up with all the external things. We don't have to be caught up with them, the things that are vying for space in our minds and in our hearts, because we know the truth of his word. And it's enough. God's word is enough. I was going to read this later on, but I'm going to read this now. You don't have it, Lyndon. But if you're taking notes, it's 1 Corinthians 15 and from verse 3. It says, "For," and this is Paul speaking. It says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." I want you to notice something. It's all according to scriptures. "And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. And that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also." This is Paul speaking, and he is talking of the fact that after Jesus was resurrected, he was seen by his disciples. And Paul would have come quite a while after, but he also saw Jesus. "For I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, we preached, so you believe." Whether it was the disciples or the first set of the apostles, or it was Paul, they preached. And they preached the fact that they had seen. They preached the fact that Jesus came. He is the Son of God. He had his ministry on earth. Then he was crucified. Then he was buried. For 3 days and three, he was there in the ground. And then he resurrected. Now he's gone back. And if you read the rest of 1 Corinthians 15, you will see where Paul says, listen, without this, my faith is in vain. My faith is in vain. If he hasn't gone back to be with God, getting ready for me, my faith is in vain. See, we need to know what we believe. We can't just say we're Christians and we believe the word of God, but we need to believe. We need to believe. So, Like I said before, it's enough. It was enough that they preached the word. It was enough for them to believe. His word is enough. And so I want to expand a little bit on how apostolic doctrine affects the church. Not just affects, but kind of affect the church. Apostolic doctrine, it shapes culture. I'll explain that. We're a very diverse congregation. If all of us who call Family Church Gospel home were to be in this room today, you look around, you'll see that we're a very diverse congregation. We represent so many different cultures based on the geographics of where we would have come from, based on our upbringing, and sometimes circumstances also kind of dictate what we see as our culture. It also, when I say based on circumstances, I'm talking about how you were brought up, because you can, if you've had an upbringing from early on in your life, and then you demographically or geographically you've moved to somewhere else, those two cultures can sometimes clash, and it affects what you see as your culture. Okay, but how do you know the culture of where you were born or of your ethnicity? Your culture is in, no matter what your culture is, it's instilled in you from birth. You were taught things that would be unique to your region or your ethnic background. And what you hear, you see, repetition plays a big part in confirming your culture to you. Because what you hear goes into your heart. That takes root. It grows. It produces fruit of its own kind. I can tell you, I live in a close horseshoe kind of thing. And if, no, a horseshoe is a crescent. I live in a close. It's called close. and I just from the smell, if someone's cooking, from the smell, I can tell you if it's Nepalese, if it's Caribbean, if it's British. I can tell you that. I know if my neighbor's home. My neighbors know if I'm home because the smoke alarm goes off. But I can tell you because there are certain cultural foods that are unique to certain regions. Please, I promise you I can cook. That's not why I don't bring anything to bring and shares, okay? If I do bring anything to bring and shares, you can eat it. I can cook. Don't ask Indian Kerwin. Yeah. But you learn these things and you live by them. And then you teach your children. And then your children teach their children. And that's how culture stays. And that's how it becomes culture. Because if you think about it, the first people to ever have done what they did, it wasn't culture. But culture becomes culture when it keeps being done all the time. And so what's taught in the church becomes the culture of the church. We always say this thing in the worship team. Be the culture that you want to see. So when other people join the worship team, we've already got a culture, or should. We've got a culture that when they come in, they're not like flailing around trying to figure out, okay, so what's happening here? What happens? We come and, you know. But it's important that we know what our values are and that we have clear values that shape what and how we teach, because this establishes the culture. You see, Acts 2:42 is a clear culture in the church then. That's a clear culture of the then church. What did they do? They sat under the teaching of the apostles. I was going to say they had connect groups, but they had connect groups. They break bread together. They prayed together. That's the culture that they established in the church then. And so we've got, as a church, to establish the culture with clear values, because that will dictate what our culture becomes. Apostolic doctrine, or teaching of apostolic doctrine, you know, it builds disciples, because apostolic doctrine is truth. It's truth. It builds disciples. When Peter was speaking, and when you read from in Acts 2 from verse 1, it would show you that he talked about the fact that, you know, God extended, this is me paraphrasing, he extended his mercy and his grace, and he upheld the truth of his word. You can't build anything based on a lie. You can't. Sorry. I'm breaking it to you now. In case you didn't know, you cannot build anything based on a lie. It is shaky. We've probably all tried when we were younger. It's shaky. It's just so hard to remember what you've said. Like, really? And so you've just got to one lie on top of another, on top of another, because you forgot what you said in the first place. Why are you all looking so innocent? Like, is it me? Nah, can't be just... But it falls apart, because a lie cannot stand up to God's word. A lie cannot stand up to God's word, because it's shaky. It cannot build anything. And God's word is truth, and it has staying power. See, when you build on the truth of God's word, you're building something that lasts. You're building disciples. You're building people who have a sure foundation in the word. They're not just converts. I remember when I was younger, we used to go to converts class. They called it converts class. I think, you know, welcome home and other things. But I remember going to converts class. It was good. But, you know, we can't just... We've got to be clear and have clear values from the word that builds disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus. Converts, you feel good for a while, and then you're like, oh, well, yeah. But disciples are followers of Jesus. Followers build on the rock. Do you remember in Matthew 7, I'm just going to paraphrase this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Yep. Matthew 27, from about verse 24, talks about the fact that the wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the winds came and the storms came, it just slammed against the house. But the house was able to stay standing. It stayed firm because the house was built on the rock. And then it talks about the man that built his house on the sand. Anybody ever tried building a sand castle? Go to the beach and you build a nice sand castle and you think, oh, I've done well. And a really nice wave comes in. Have you ever tried protecting your sand castle? Oh, you get swept away too. But because the message is sound, you've got sure footing. The message that the disciples taught was about the new covenant. It's a new covenant. Now, we've got a new covenant with Jesus. We've got a covenant with God that we've got Jesus in the middle there. And that new covenant, it's a message about hearts being changed, hearts being renewed. You know, it's about daily lives, us laying down our daily lives as a living sacrifice. In Romans 12, Paul talks about the fact that we bring our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable act of worship. And a reasonable act of worship. And that's good, sound doctrine. Every day we come and we lay our lives down, take up our cross daily and follow him. And when Peter would have spoken, the people's hearts were stirred. And they were like, oh wow, what can I do? What can I do to be saved? See, they didn't just hear and felt something, because your heart is stirred and there's something there that's tugging on your heart. They didn't just hear the word and had that little tug. But they realized that they needed to put action to what they heard. And in Luke 6, 46 to 49, it says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. They realized that they couldn't be like the man who built his house on the sand. They needed to do something. There is a scripture that says, do not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. We can't just hear it, have a nice little tickle, think that's a good word, and then go home and do nothing about it. That's not disciple life. Disciple life says you hear it. The Holy Spirit does something in you when you hear it. You go and you do something about what you've heard. When you hear, you do, and you produce fruit. See, producing fruit is the one thing that the Lord told us to do back in Genesis, isn't it? Yeah, go and produce. So how do we apply what we've learned today to our normal everyday walk? Well, you get in the word. It's as simple as that. You get in the word. It's the only way you know and you'd learn what's in the word. It's the only way you would know. You get in the word. It's not enough to just attend church. We really want you here. We really, really, really want you here. It is, and Isaac will talk to you about that next week. We want you here, but it's not enough for you to come, sit down, hear a word, go home, and just Monday to Saturday be, yeah, life's good, life's lifing, and that's it. And then you come back Sunday, and then you're like, oh, church again. Nice little worship session. Oh, Phil's here. Phil's going to play the guitar and the drums. Yep. And it's a really nice, it's not enough. It is not enough. Get in the word. If you struggle concentrating, because I know it can be hard, especially if you're a new Christian, it can be hard when you hear, when you're like reading some of these things and you're like, you know, or you start reading about, I think it was, somebody mentioned it the other day about communion, and one of their little ones thought, that's a bit carnivorous. When Jesus said about, you know, my flesh, you know, and my blood. If you're a new Christian, it is hard. And you can't concentrate. Do you know what? There are apps. There are apps. There's your Bible to begin with, okay? But if you find it hard to concentrate, there are apps. And there are apps that have actually got the audio. Do you know what I normally do sometimes? I would put the Bible on when I've in the night, and especially if I'm struggling to sleep, I just put the Bible on and let it play. Listen, my mom always told me, if you hear it often enough, it'll go in. I'm not sending this one to her at all. But it is true, if you hear something often enough, you'll remember it. But you're making an effort, and that's the beginning. You're making an effort. So, yep, like I said, there are apps. There are devotionals that can help you to have a structure if you are, like, you know, type A personality. For me, you might figure out that I'm not type A. There's a devotional that I use, and that devotional, it helps me, because sometimes if you're doing a study on something that's different and you can't go to your what your devotional is, the devotional that I have allows for that. It doesn't go by date. So all I do is once I've finished my study and I go back to my devotion, then I can tick off what I've done. But there are so many different devotionals. There are, and they actually, sometimes you don't even have to think for yourself. It asks you the questions. And it's really easy. But if ever you are stuck, you've got people that would help, that can help you. You've always got, we've got so many connect groups. We've got so many connect groups. Connect groups, connect group leaders, they can help. Most importantly, we've got the Holy Spirit, okay? We have got the Holy Spirit. His word tells us that he is coming and he has come. And he will lead us into all truth. He will lead us into all truth. So listen, if you ever hear anything and you think that song's wrong, or I'm not sure about that one, I don't know. Pastor Jeff probably is fed up with me and be like, oh, I don't get that. You can go to the person who's, and they can explain, or you can go to Pastor Jeff or somebody that you hold in high esteem. But if you ever hear anything and you think, this doesn't rest well with me, I do not know, guess what? The Bible is the truth. what you've heard, you bring it and hold it up next to the word of God. See if it stands up with the word. You put it in front of the word of God and you see. Examine it under the light and the truth of his word. Because his word can't lie. It will show you what is there and if it lines up and adds up to the word. Acts 17:11. It says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. This was Paul. They had just arrived in Berea. And this is him telling you what happened when he got there. He said, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Be like the Bereans. Honestly, be like the Bereans. Go, search the word. If I've said anything to you this morning and you think, I don't know, go to the word. Go to the word, because the word is truth. And when you go to this, remember what we said, truth builds disciples. Truth builds disciples. Amen? Amen. If you don't take anything else away, take that. Truth builds disciples. And the culture of the church, we need to be clear about the things that we learn, the things that we teach. Amen? Amen. And that's the word for today. Lyndon just said yay. That's the word for today. I know most people here, there are some of you who may be here for the first time, and I want to give you the opportunity to just invite Jesus into your heart. You may have been to church before. This may not be the only church you've been to. You might think that you're here by accident. I don't believe that. No one walks into these doors by accident. And I want to give you the opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart. Something I've said might just have stirred your heart. And so would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the truth that calls me to you. Thank you that you've given me the chance to have eternal life in you. I pray that as I receive you, my life is changed for you. Give me a new heart that runs hard after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed for the first time, asking Jesus into your heart, would you just raise your hand just so we can give you some literature and a little bit of guidance? You might feel a little bit, I don't know, should I not? Listen, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you have. Tomorrow isn't promised. I'm not going to prolong it any further, but I want to pray also for those of us who know Christ. And I want to pray that, Lord, as we would have heard your word today, Father, I pray that what would have been spoken, God, would stir something, Lord. Stir in us a desire to be in your word. Stir in us, God, a desire to learn more of you through your word, God. Holy Spirit, we pray that even as we would open the words, we would have supernatural understanding. Father, that as we open your word to learn more of you, God, that our hearts would be burdened for the things that burden you. Lord, that our hearts will burn for you. Father, that our eyes would be open to the things that you want us to see, that our ears, God, would be open to the things that you want to say to us, and that we would be able to hear clearly, God. Father, we pray that as we say that we are Christians and we say that we are disciples of the one true God, Lord, that our hearts and our behavior would mirror what you want. And Father, as we come to the close of the meeting today, Lord, we pray for each person here that as we go into our week, God, that your glory would go before us, but also, Lord, that our lives would show your glory. That, Lord, our lives would show that you are our Lord, that you are our Savior, that you are our Master. Father, that our lives would constantly say to you, God, here we are. Our lives are open for you to do what you will. In Jesus' name, amen.